I have my notes in here. I'm going to ask you just to indulge me just for 1 minute. I'm going to pull a John McKim. I heard a little story. We're going to be preaching the gospel this morning, kind of a very serious topic. But before we do that, I do want to share a funny little story. There was this couple, older couple, been married for many years and had many issues. They bickered often, always arguing, and just not getting along. And so one of their closest friends thought, something's got to give here. We care about these people. We want to send you to a psychiatrist. We want to send them to a psychiatrist to kind of get this resolved, because their marriage was in a disarray. And so eventually they were convinced to go to the psychiatrist. Well, before they went, they started to argue about who was going to drive. And eventually they got that resolved. And then when they got into the office, they started to argue about who was going to speak first. Whose fault was it that the marriage was in such a state? And so this young psychiatrist, new in his profession, only had started maybe a year into his practice, was just overwhelmed by this couple when they entered. And he thought, wow, what? It couldn't get a word in edgewise, couldn't even get them seated. And so he says, you know what, maybe I just got to do some shock therapy just to kind of get their attention. So he went over to the gal and swooped her down and gave her a 3-minute long kiss right on the lips. And the lady kind of stood back and staggered. And the psychiatrist said to the man, he says, this is what this woman needs 3 times a week at least. He says, well, I can bring her in Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays. On a more serious note, Jesse shared with us a chapter in 2 Kings, chapter 7. I want to just kind of paraphrase that story because there's 2 verses that were repeated twice in that chapter concerning the children of Israel and what the famine that was in the land. So I'm just going to kind of reiterate the story quickly so you can understand where I'm going with. So there was a famine in the land, and Samaria, which was the capital city, was under siege. And there was no food. There was no food available. And so Elisha the prophet prophesied that in the coming day, very shortly, that there would be food. And it would be sold at a very reasonable price, just as it was in the past. And people, and the famine would be over. And the aide of the king said, you know what? Are you for real? He said, you know, maybe if God would like put windows in heaven, maybe it would happen, but he says, and Elisha the prophet responds to that and says, you will see it with your eyes, but you'll not take part of it. And so the story goes on. These lepers go to this place where the Syrians had attacked, and they're gone. There's no one there. And so they take part of the spoil. They have lots of food, and they start to feel guilty. He said, you know what? We've got this. We've got to go back and tell the king. And so they do that. They go back and tell the king, there's no one here and there's food for everyone. And so that's what happens. But there's doubt. And so he says, one of the king's aides says, you know what, let's just send 4 people in. Maybe they're hiding. And we'll, if we go in there, they're gonna attack us. And it's just a ploy. And so they send 4 in, and no. There's stuff, debris everywhere. And people have fled. God had created a great noise. And the army's dispersed. And the food was available to these people. And so this king's aide, who had doubted God and doubted the prophet Elisha, said, was put in charge of the gate of all these people coming in to take part of all the food. And he was trampled underfoot and he died. And the chapter says, he reiterates the same verse, you will see it with your eyes, but you'll not partake of it. I would like to suggest this morning that there's 3 types of people in our audience. Those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their only means of salvation. And I know and trust I look out at the faces, and that is the case, undoubtedly, in this body of people. There's those that have done that, and as was mentioned in our earlier meeting, have had doubts through the week and struggled with their faith about the grace of God that they've received through faith in Christ. They're saved, but they're struggling. And it's always good to get back to the basis, isn't it? As we broke bread this morning, as we were putting Christ at the forefront and understanding that His death was sufficient to save us from our sins. That's second type of person. And we all can, in some measure, relate to that, can't we, if we're saved? And then the third group of people that I want to consider this morning are those that just do not believe. They do not believe. That's the topic this morning. The sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief. The Word of God is very clear that the sin of unbelief will end an individual in the lake of fire. I'm not going to mince any words. I'm going to be as clear as I possibly can this morning about believing and not believing. And maybe you say you believe, but I want to define the biblical sense of what it means to believe in the person of Christ and His substitutionary work on the cross of Calvary as payment for your personal sins. Not believing a bit. Full reliance on that as your eternal, as your eternity is at stake, as your eternal state is at stake this morning. The sin of unbelief. I want to end my message. I have 20 minutes. I will not go over. But if you are not saved, if you do not understand this terminology, I want to make it very clear this morning. I want to try to present it as clearly as I possibly can. And I'm going to end with a story of two individuals that went out of time into eternity. One landed in hell, the other in heaven. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, it talks about a rich man and a beggar. And we're going to end our discussion this morning with that story. The results of unbelief, the reality of unbelief. There is going to be this morning a call going out, an invitation. It's not my invitation. I am not responsible to prick your conscience, to make you bothered by your sin. It is not my job. I'm here to present biblical truth from God, the Word of God, the God-breathed book. So if you are anxious, if you are doubting, that is not my part in this. Could it be that God is speaking directly to you right now as you're sitting here? Five simple points. Number one, speaking of this idea of unbelief or not believing, the Bible uses the word faith and belief. They're synonymous. Faith. Without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. First point. Unbelief is the starting point of all sin. Unbelief, listen carefully, not to believe is the starting point of all sin. We're going to talk about that. Unbelief supports every other sin. Number three, unbelief disables anyone and everyone from any good thing that you may think you can do. Listen to it again. Unbelief disables anyone and everyone from any good work. Fourthly, unbelief has with it very severe punishment. It will rob its victims of blessing and reward them with death. And fifthly and finally, unbelief is the damning sin, the sin that will ultimately separate you from a holy God for all eternity. It's the single most sin that you do not want on your account this morning. Unbelief is and was the beginning of every other sin. Let's go back in human history, all the way back to when God put two human beings in a garden. He put Adam and Eve in a garden. And they had all the blessings of everything that that garden could provide. But there was one thing God said. There was a tree in the garden. And he says, do not partake of the fruit of that tree. And many of you know the story. If you don't know the story, this is what happened. Those two human beings that God had placed in that garden decided to disobey God. They were the first two individuals of the human race. We are all descendants of those two people, and their names was Adam and Eve. And there was a serpent in that place, and he said to them, hath God said that? Did he really say it? And if he did say it, did he really mean it? And he deceived them with those people, Adam and Eve, and they partook of the fruit. And we know the end result of that. The end result of it, it plunged the whole human race under judgment of God and condemnation and separation from God. That's when it began. A lie. If you doubt God's word this morning, this book that's been given to us, if you doubt this book, then there's no standard for you. If there's no standard, then you can do as you please. And if you do as you please, there's no consequences. That's the downward spiral of man. Unbelief. Not taking God at his word this morning. And I'm going to ask you at the end of this message to take God at his word. What he says, he means. And I'm going to challenge you at the end of this message to believe. Not just to know about it, but to believe, to rest wholly on what we're speaking about this morning. That is what God calls the salvation that he provides. It is called the gospel. It is good news for you. As I mentioned, in the book of Hebrews it says, without believing or without faith, it is impossible to please God. There was a king in the Old Testament by the name of Jeroboam. It was said of him that he sinned and he made Israel to sin. Don't think that your sinful life doesn't influence those around you. Sin has far-reaching consequences. It drags others with you. And if you are a Savior this morning, the Bible tells us about believing again. We don't discard believing once we've come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We put our faith in Him. It says the just, those that have been justified through the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice on Calvary's cross, those that are just shall live by faith, by believing. Christian, are you living faithfully each day, trusting God? It's a challenge to me. I spoke with a brother yesterday, we prayed, and you know what? We both realize we're a flop. We fall. It's because we haven't laid hold of trusting God. And remember, Christian, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. If you put your faith, if you have believed in Him, you're covered. You're covered. Can I hear an amen to those that are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Amen. I would be nowhere without the person of Jesus Christ and His love for me. Unbelief, number two, not only supports all other sins, but if you're left to yourself, you will be doomed. He that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I'm using the word believe in the biblical sense. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. My guess, and I could be wrong, but there's people in the audience here this morning that have heard and heard and heard and listened and heard and listened to the gospel message and just have a mental assent to it. Is that you? Have you put your full weight? I'm not here to cast doubt on your salvation. But don't you want to know 100% sure? If you have doubts, then go back to the place of Calvary where Jesus Christ died for your sins. And put your full weight on that. Your eternal destiny weighs on that. There's nothing else that matters. There's nothing else that matters. Thirdly, unbelief does not allow the power of the gospel to penetrate your heart. Listen to carefully. Unbelief does not allow the good news of Jesus Christ to penetrate your soul. If you do not believe, there is no hope. There's no hope for you if you hold on to unbelief. If you just have a mental assent, and that's all you have, and that's all you're content with, I want to tell you on the authority of God's Word, there is no hope for you. You need to believe. You need to believe. If you were to take your guard down this morning and lay aside unbelief, to say, you know what, I'm going to listen to the preacher this morning. I'm going to listen to the Word of God. I'm just going to take it at face value. There's my unbelief over there, and I'm going to listen. Now you're listening. Now there's nothing in front of you, and you're facing God. Unbelief is over there. You have an opportunity to believe in His Son. It dispels everything, doesn't it? It condemns you. You may feel this morning, I've got no hope. I need to believe. I need to put my faith in Him. It's my only hope. If I don't, and unbelief is over here, all I have to do is believe. Unbelief does not allow the gospel to penetrate. If you're hanging on to some form of unbelief this morning, and you are not saved, put it aside. Now God can deal with you on the grounds that you are a sinner and He sent His Son to be the rescue for your soul. There's unbelief is over here. You need to trust Him and put your faith in Him. The Bible says, very clearly, whatsoever is not of faith or belief is sin. Every camp work, every children's ministry that you have been a part of, if you are not saved, through many years, is just simply this: whitewashed sin. Let me just repeat that. Every good work that you have done outside of believing and putting your faith in Jesus Christ is just a whitewashed sin. It says, for by grace we are saved through faith, through believing. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of me doing anything, not of me trying to please God. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. So we can't boast about it. The salvation, the gospel that I am presenting this morning is done 100% by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he asks you to rest in that work. That is salvation. That is the biblical salvation that you need this morning. Believe in him. I've written this down: with all the virtues of purity, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Through biblical history, those that did not have faith always had severe consequences. We think of Noah and the ark. They didn't believe Noah when he proclaimed the truth to them that judgment was coming, and only 8 souls were saved. We think of Sodom and Gomorrah. God basically wiped off the planet, those 2 cities, because of their disobedience and sin. Severe consequences. Someone has said this: every other crime or sin touches God's territory, but unbelief aims a blow at his divinity, impeaches his truthfulness, denies his goodness, blasphemes his attributes, maligns his character. Therefore, God of all things hates first and chiefly unbelief. If men and women, have been guilty of every other sin, if they had but believed, he or she would have been pardoned. But this is a damning exception. He or she had no faith. In our story, that one that doubted God's word, it was said of him, the prophet Elisha said to him, you will see it with your eyes, but you'll never partake of it. And I want to use that in the gospel this morning. You've heard truth. You've heard about the sin of unbelief and putting it aside and being transparent before God. So you see it. Maybe you see it this morning. I trust you do. You see that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the sin bearer, the one who would take care of your shortcomings, your sin. And he put the punishment on his Son so that you could be free. And he asked you this morning simply to do this. He asked you simply to believe. That's what he's asking. He's asking you just to give up and be satisfied with what God's Son has done. Crumb, I got 3 minutes. I said I wouldn't be over time, but I won't be. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by this book. Faith, believing, comes by hearing. You've all heard this morning. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's a work of God. If your conscience is pricked this morning, I haven't done it. That's God speaking directly to you this morning. I've asked myself this question: what will be the worst thing that you will face in coming day, separated from God? The rich man and Lazarus ended up in two different places. One in heaven, one in hell. And he could see the beggar in heaven. And he said, can he just dip the finger in water and cool my tongue from tormenting this flame? And there was no go. There was a separation, eternal separation, that would never be bridged. I wonder, this is a question I've asked myself, what is the worst thing for you in hell in a coming day? To have seen the salvation of God, to know what it means to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I mean, not just some easy belief, but to put it all on the line this morning and say, I'm not saved, I want to be saved, I understand the truth of the gospel. What would be the worst thing for you in hell, in torment? And you'll be able to see others in heaven. And there'll be no more chance for you. In the great white throne in Revelation chapter 20, it says the books will be opened. And all the dead and those that have gone through time in a coming day will stand before God, who will be seated on that white throne. And it won't be a normal court session. You won't be able to plead your cause. The books will be opened. And another book will be opened, it says, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name is not written in that book, the Bible clearly says you'll be cast into a lake of fire for all eternity. George Whitefield, an old preacher, used to do this. Wrath to come! Wrath to come! Escape from the wrath to come. And I'm doing it this morning. There is judgment to come. Wrath, anger, kiss the Son. Lest he be angry and you perish in the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed is the man that puts his faith in him. Do you know him for sure? Do you know him for sure? If you do, serve him. If you don't, lay aside all those misconceptions that you've had before about doing good and trying to do the best, even in our circles, it's creeping in. Put it aside. Stand before God as a guilty sinner in need, desperate need of his salvation. And trust him. He is absolutely trustworthy. It is enough for me that Jesus died and that he died for me. I have staked my whole eternity on that. And the question is, what have you staked your eternity on? What you're doing in these four walls? Not enough. It'll never be enough. Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Trust him. Don't put it off. I cannot save you. I can give you verses. I can lead you in the right direction. God does the saving. Trust him. And you'll live for him, with him, for all eternity. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you that it is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit. Father, it can pierce the hearts of men and women, even in our meeting this morning. Father, I want to end with this verse. For God so loved the world, the heart of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. The heart of God is not willing that any should perish. But they would have present possession in their seat today, everlasting life. What a gospel. What a truth. Father, I pray these things in your precious Son's name, the Lord Jesus Christ.